But during worship, when we were singing about the dead bones living, I saw hearts. I saw hearts that were more stone than flesh. And I saw them open like a tomb. Lives coming back to life, resurrection life. I think sometimes we have areas in our heart. We give God parts of them. We give God parts, and we think that we're hiding away the other parts. And this morning, I felt like he shined a light in some of those places.
Yes, he did. Glory to God.
And I thank him for resurrection life.
Yes.
Amen.
Because those stones, when Tracy was reading that verse, the stony heart was becoming flesh. So we're going to talk a little bit about hearts and minds today, of course. And I'm just going to tell you my 2 points right in front, and then we're just going to talk a little bit. But first, we're going to pray. Lord, I thank you for who you are. I thank you that you are resurrection life. I thank you that your word brings bones, dry bones, alive. I thank you that stony hearts become flesh, and I thank you that lungs breathe with living breath through you. God, I thank you that your lordship, your authority and power and sovereignty work in our lives with resurrection life. We give you this day. I ask, God, that you open our ears to hear, our eyes to see, our minds to understand, and our hearts to know more of who you are today. We thank you in your precious name. Amen. So, Laura said I should introduce myself, and I kind of laughed because ever since I came here, I became part of the Jacobs. My last name is not Jacob. Love the Jacobs. Love them to death. Love them. My last name is Mascarenhas. Mascarenhas. It's kind of long, but it's okay. It's easy, actually easy to say and read. It's very phonetic. But yes, my name's Lisa Mascarenhas. If you don't know that, that's who I am. I am related to the Jacobs. Lori is my sister, in case you can't tell. That was actually fun for the first 2 years here, too. They'd come up to me and say, hey, can you tell Bruce? I'm like, well, yeah, I can. But I think you're talking, you think you're talking to Lori. Oh, I'm not, no. I'm Lisa. That was fun too. Most of the time it's good now, just so everybody knows. Everybody knows who I am. But anyway, it's kind of funny. We enjoy this stuff. All right. So I loved what Bruce talked about last week. If you did not hear it, go on the website and listen. He talked all about lordship. Well, I'm going to talk about that too in another sense. But I looked it up, I'm just like, Lord, what is lordship? Just quickly. And it's the authority, power, and sovereignty of God. And I think for the most part, we struggle with the first one. As human beings, authority. We tend to want to be like, no, I'm gonna be my little independent self over here. Anybody like that? Anybody opinionated? Anybody very strong about their opinions?
Yeah.
I think that's a human condition, right? But that first one struck me, and I was like, whoo, Jesus. And I liked what it's, I was reading along, and it said, lordship in your life. Here's my 2 points for the day. Here's my 2 points. Lordship requires obedience and surrender. Obedience and surrender. And now we're going to take a look at a couple people. But before that, Luke 6:46. One of Bruce's verses from last week.
Yes.
Why do you call me Lord, Lord? And you don't do what I say. Children. As children, with parents, we learn obedience. We do with the Father as well. Can I talk about you a little bit? I loved what she said. Last night, we were sitting at the gala for Tall Oaks, and she said, God told me like 3 or 4 times. And she was like, I got it. I loved it because he is so patient, and he will tell us, and he'll nudge us a little bit more, and he'll tell us, and he'll nudge us a little bit more until we say, okay, God. And the more we say, okay, God, yes, God, the easier it becomes to say it like that.
Amen.
Say it immediate. Okay, God, let's go. Let's do. And the other one that I liked, what I mean, there was a, I liked it all last week, but I can't repeat all of last week. Matthew 6:33. Here's how we do it. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. He takes care of the rest. I loved what Bruce said. It's his job. It's his job. Whatever the it is, whatever it is, it's his job. We get to say, Father, please take this and have it. And I will just walk along with you and see what you do. And we're going to do it together. Now, if you approach life that way, you will be walking a very different life. So, we're going to look at Joseph. We're going to look at Joseph. This dude had a reason to not be happy. He had a reason. And I have a few questions with parts of his story. Genesis 37:20. I'm reading out of NASB, so it'll be a little bit slightly different. Now then, come and let's kill him. Okay. Brothers, not happy. And if you read before this, they're jealous and they hate him. Two very strong emotions. Now then, come and let's kill him and throw him into one of the pits. And we will say, they've already got their lie ready. A vicious animal devoured him. Then we will see what will become of his dreams. They're doing the little kid tantrum. Say, I can do this. We're going to do this, and we're going to derail what God has to do. Yeah, right. I love that. We just shake our little finger, and then he's like, meep. And then just a little ways down, 37:26-27, and Judah said to his brothers, what profit is it? What profit is it for us to kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him, for he is our brother. Okay, so there's a little twinge of We probably shouldn't kill him. But let's make money off this. Okay. He is our own flesh, and his brothers listen to him. So I'm going to talk about those brothers of his, because they deal with a lot of what we deal with. Emotion. They were hating him. They were very jealous. Now, did they have reason? Maybe. Maybe. Because Papa wasn't loving them as much as they were loving him. Maybe Joseph was a little snotty kid that was saying, I had this dream. Maybe, we don't know, but maybe. But the problem, and maybe the question I need to ask is he Lord? When your family, the people that are supposed to love you, is he Lord when your family hurts and betrays you? Is he still Lord? For them, they took anger and jealousy and lived there. They said, I had these feelings, they're real, so I have to live here and function here. Ooh. Now, I'm not invalidating the fact that they had the feeling, but it came with a choice. Every feeling you have comes with a choice. Yep. Right. And you're going to hear me say this a lot today. Here's the choice. Allow anger and bitterness to skew your perspective, or allow yourself to see God's perspective and walk a life of lordship. Allow your feelings to dictate how you're going to see and respond and react to people. Or allow his perspective to help you walk in lordship and love. Who? Love is not earned. Love is not earned. It is freely given. Even when you hate them. Even when they have literally betrayed you. You get a choice to love. And to walk in lordship. And to see them, whoever it is, from God's perspective. Let's keep going. So, he gets to Egypt and is sold to Potiphar. Now we're going to look at Joseph himself. He has a choice. Because do you think he might be a little upset? That's an easy one, right? He's upset. Those emotions are flags as to what's happening. Now, did he probably have to deal with it and work through it a little bit? I'm sure he did. But let's read and see what his choice was. Genesis 39:3. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did prosper in his hand. If he had given into his anger, his bitterness, his unforgiveness, whatever it is towards his brothers, there's no way the Lord would be seen in his life. He wouldn't be living according to what he knows God to be. Correct? Yes. He made a choice. And I bet he had to go back to that choice several times. I've lived long enough. It's over 50 years now. To have been hurt by a few people, and I'm sure I've hurt people. I've had to walk in forgiveness. And there have been times when I've been down the road, even years later, and felt those feelings. And I said, oh, no, no, no. Oh, no, no, no. I went back to that benchmark, that moment I had with God that said, no, I forgive. Take those thoughts. By the way, for those of you that are tripping on things like that, if you have a bad thought, take it captive. The Lord tells you to take it captive. Take it captive. Go back to the benchmark. What marks your healing? What marks the fact that you forgave someone? What marks it? The Bible tells us that the Israelites built an altar. Did you build an altar somewhere? I think Natalie talked about building an altar somewhere too. What marks it? The Red Sea marked the Israelites' departure from slavery to freedom. A lot of them couldn't get past it. Some of them said, no, that's where I was done. Slavery was done. Are you still living in a mentality of slavery? Are you enslaved to anger? Are you enslaved to unforgiveness? Does that skew your perspective on everything you're doing? Next one, Genesis 39:23. Before this, okay, so he's doing great. If you don't know the story, you can go read Genesis 39. Before this, he's doing great. He is totally over everything Potiphar has. He is making this dude rich and taking care of everything he's got. But the wife has some issues. And he would not succumb to her. He's like, no, because that would dishonor my Lord. That was his perspective. So as you all know, he was thrown into prison. Do you think he was upset?
Yeah.
Possibly. Just a touch. Okay, so here he is having to deal with things again. Okay, does this sound like life?
Yes.
We deal with things, people, circumstances, all the time. So let's do it from God's perspective instead of ours. So, Genesis 39:23, the warden of the prison. This is hilarious to me. Did not supervise anything under Joseph's authority. When's the last time you heard of a prisoner having authority in a prison? Like, really? But he saw the Lord. The warden sees the Lord in him. He had a choice. He had a choice. Joseph had a choice again. Do I succumb to the anger and the bitterness and the unfairness? I hear that word, especially from kids. You know, you hear that all the time. It's not fair. Welcome to life. But he could have succumbed to that again. But instead, he said, no, Lord, give me your perspective. I want to serve. I want to minister. I am not going to dishonor you. He surrendered all of it to his Lord. And people could see it. They could see it. And he was put in charge in the prison. He was
The warden of the prison did not supervise anything under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him. And the Lord made whatever he did prosper. So, here's my question. Is he Lord when a friend or a boss betrays you? Is he Lord? It's easy to say it here. Can you say it out there? He was totally betrayed. And Potiphar, they think, even knew it because his wife was his wife. He knew it, but he's like, I can't keep him in my house now because she's made this accusation. So even when you're falsely accused, is he Lord? Is he Lord? We'll keep moving on. Because someone he helps in the prison, remember when the cupbearer and the baker come in, and Joseph is in there interpreting dreams, taking care of people, he's ministering. He tells, it's kind of sad, tells one of them he's going to die, the other one's going to live. It's like, wow, wouldn't want to have to interpret that one. But he says, the cupbearer says, I will remember you. It took 2 years for him to remember him. Do you think maybe Joseph was like, had his hopes up and then wham, it's been a year. He hasn't said anything. He hasn't done anything. He hasn't said anything. I'm still in prison. Do you think he was upset? He had a choice. You have a choice. Do your feelings dictate your perspective? Or do you say, Lord, what is your perspective? And walk a life of lordship. We have that choice every day, I could imagine. For me, I know it. Every day, there's always something going on. Because I work and communicate with people. The days that are easy, I work at home, by the way. The days that are easy, nobody calls. It's amazing. But we have a choice, always. We're always having to make that choice. Are we going to surrender our situation, our circumstance, our hurt, our pain, our feelings, all of that to the Lord? We have a choice. How are we going to see things? How are we going to react? And it took, the beautiful thing, and you've probably heard this most of your life too, is it took 2 years, but God knows when. And his timing is always perfect. And I don't know if I've told you that story about coming here. I don't know if I have or not, but I can tell you anyway. After that rather horrific moment in my life when I was divorced, I actually came and visited here. For obvious reasons, my sister was here. And I just walked into church, wasn't thinking about anything, to be honest. And I hit those doors right there. I hit the threshold. And he said, no. And I was like, to what? He said, no, you are not coming here. And I said, okay. I said, I know I'm going to make it then. Because that was my concern. Is keeping my home. You know, feeding myself, my mother. That kind of thing. Kind of important things. I said, okay, I know I'm going to make it. He said no. So that means I need to stay home. I went, okay. And it wasn't till, oh boy, how many years passed between then? Probably 15. Probably 15, at least. when we moved my mama down here, I didn't move down here first, I moved my mom to, because both my sisters were here at the time. And I said, I just came to church because I was visiting. And I hit those doors. Wasn't even thinking about moving here, because that, I'm like, they got it. There's two of them down here, they got it. We're good. And Lou was good at the time. Now she lives in the Maldives. So I hit those doors and he said yes. And I was like, oh, I guess I'm moving. Like, okay, I get it, must be time. And it was, because things changed down here quite drastically, so that now Laura and I have mom. So anyway, his timing is always right. But are you willing to surrender the feelings and the hurts and the pains and the whatevers to healing and to his timing? And are you willing in that time to keep ministering, to keep serving, and to honor your Lord with a walk of lordship? And by the way, that 15 years was not easy. Just so you know. Forgiveness. Well, we're getting back to the family part for Joseph. Let's quick read. Wait, before I read it. Forgiveness. That would be hard, right? If your siblings sold you into slavery, that would be an issue. But there's other ways that we get hurt by family. There's other ways. From the simplest, you know, they call you a name or something, to abuse. I mean, the gamut is huge. He had to be able to say, no, I forgive. Because his brothers come to get food, right? Yeah. So, I don't remember if I even read those verses. I probably didn't. That's okay. Skip to Genesis 45. 45:5. Now do not be grieved. He's talking to his brothers. Or angry with yourselves. He is totally letting them off the hook. Because you sold me here. For God sent me. Now that is a perspective shift. Right, but he got there. Yeah. It's a perspective shift from, I am really, really hurt. You hurt me. To, God sent me. Yeah. But that is a perspective shift. That is what surrender looks like. Can you, in the mess, say, God did? God sent me, God, and see it from his perspective. For God sent me ahead of you to save lives. And then we're going to jump down to verse 15. And he kissed all his brothers and wept on them. And afterwards, they talked. So, is he Lord when forgiveness is needed? Have you given up your right to be offended? When someone whom you've known your whole life hurts you, are you willing to forgive? Are you willing to walk in lordship? Are you willing to walk in love? Because like Bruce said, if we are walking in lordship and we say, Lord, have it all, it's his job to fix. I can't fix Glenda. She can't fix me. The only person I have control over is me. How am I going to respond when I'm hurt by family, when I am hurt by people at work, when I'm hurt by a friend? How am I going to respond when forgiveness is necessary? Because if you have unforgiveness in your heart, you are not walking a life of lordship. They cannot be coexisting. They cannot. We need the perspective change from what we see to what God sees. That requires surrender, and then oftentimes that first step of obedience is the hardest, and then it gets easier. Surrender and obedience is required to be walking a life of lordship. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about, if you have never read The Hiding Place by Corrie Ten Boom, you will hear and read a lot about two women that are sisters, and one of them, Corrie, learned from her sister, Betsy, what it looked like to walk in lordship. The Ten Boom family, if you don't know, lived in Holland during World War II. They provided a way for many Jews to reach safety for years. And then, I want to say it was 44, but it might have been late 43. They were betrayed by someone that was helping them. And they were thrown in prison. So it was the father and both sisters. The mother had died years before. Father died in prison because he refused to tell, because they said he was older, and they said, we'll let you go if you just say you're not going to do this anymore. And he said, no way. So he died in prison. Corrie and Betsy were in prison for a long time. And every time Corrie's listening to her sister Betsy, she's just like, she, even in the book, she says, I just wonder who this sister is. She goes, I feel like I'm walking alongside her and she's on some road or something and I'm on this all too solid earth, she calls it. Because every time, when they were beaten and tortured and stuff, she goes, and Corrie, they were standing in line and Corrie's like, how long is this gonna take? And her sister says this, oh, it could take years. And Corrie's like, what? She goes, well, it could take years. All these people, they were taught to hate. You and I have to teach them how to love. She didn't say one word about the fact that they had just punched her. These are older women. Punched her and beat her. She is concerned about their soul and them meeting Jesus. Later on, they get to one of the worst, not that there were any good ones, one of the worst concentration camps. That's kind of funny. And they get in this barracks that's supposed to hold 400 and there was 1,400 in it.
Wow.
They get in their bed, it's just wood and straw, and they're getting bit by fleas. And she's like, Corrie, of course, is flipping out again. Betsy is like, oh, you know, because Corey's like, how do we live here? And Betsy says, and she hears, Corrie hears Betsy saying, show us, Lord, show us, Lord, show us, Lord. And she's like, oh, we read it in the Bible this morning. By the way, they saw miracles the whole time. They got a Bible in. Every time they were inspected, without clothing on, by the way, hard to hide some, they always skipped the one that was holding the Bible. They searched everyone but the one holding the Bible. Yeah. They had a little medicine bottle that didn't run out until a new supply. It was months and months and months, and it was this big. And there was 15 people a day using it twice a day. They saw miracles. So Corey was seeing miracles and believed. But she was still struggling with lordship, complete lordship. Lord, I'm giving you everything. Betsy was there. So they get in there, and here's what they read. 1 Thessalonians 5, 14 to 18. We urge you, brothers and sisters, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek what is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And Corey's like, she goes, we need to be thankful. And Corey said, for what? And Betsy said, the fact that both of us are assigned here. And Corey's like, oh, yes. The second part, she held up the Bible. We have his word here. And of course, Corey's like, yes. And then she said, thanks for the overcrowding. She goes, that means more get to hear Jesus in these pages. Because they held services in the barracks all the time. And then she said, thanks for the fleas. And Corey said, you have to be wrong. She said, even God can't make me thankful for the fleas. Guess what they find out later? They wondered why. They had supervision everywhere except in the barracks. Because none of the guards wanted fleas. They got to hold services and minister in the barracks because nobody would come in there. She became thankful for the fleas. That's a perspective change. Are you willing, no matter where you are and no matter what is happening, to say, Lord, I give it all to you. Show me. And walk in lordship. If you walk in lordship, people will see it. And you will be successful in what he has for you. So, I'm going to have you bow your heads. Put your hands on your heart. I'm not going to because I'll probably hit my mic again. And I want you to take just a moment before I pray, Lord, and ask him, what do I need to surrender? What area in my heart am I holding on to that I don't want your light shining? Lord, we thank you that you are so patient and so willing to show us how you think and how you see. God, I just ask that the areas that you are showing to your people, even now, Lord, that you would gently allow them to open those doors to you. Lord, let your light shine in, because we want to see who you are. I want to walk in a lifestyle of lordship. I want, Lord, for you to have my obedience and my surrender. God, I give everything to you, freely, open-handed. Lord God, I thank you for these people. I thank you that you love them more than they can even think or imagine. And God, that you care even more than they do about every situation. Open our ears to hear, our eyes to see, and our hearts to know you. God, I thank you that you are always speaking to each and every one. Lord, help us, even when we don't understand, to take that step of obedience and that step of surrender. We thank you, God, because you are so amazing. You are so faithful and you are so true. We give everything to you today. We thank you, God.